Gang, and welcome to our Christmas episode of Mass Murder Talk. We are your hosts, Janine and Tony Johnson.
Hello, everybody.
So, I don't know if y'all listened to the last episode, but Tony was supposed to be on it, but he did not feel well. And as we do this episode, you will definitely hear it in his voice that he still is very, very congested.
Yeah, I'm back from the dead, though.
I don't know about all that. So, as some of our listeners may know, I also have a segment called The Parasite Files, and I do that by myself. If you haven't listened to it, then you should go check those episodes out. And on this podcast, we talk about mass murders, usually dealing with mental illness and or the family angle. However, we do not talk about school shootings. We talk about cases or stories that have been out for a while. We take the public information that we have and present it to our listeners through our eyes. And I will say that we are not therapists. We are not trained whatsoever. We tell the stories with the information that we have to the best of our ability. And at the end, I will always ask, what do y'all think? Then we will give our opinions and final thoughts. So, all right, y'all, get ready. This one's going to be a little wild. So let's start the episode. This episode is about Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, who on Christmas Eve 2008, around 11:30 p.m., shot and killed his ex-wife and her family while wearing a Santa suit. You have anything you want to say before we start? Okay. Pardo was born on June 28th. 1956 in Montgomery Park, California. He grew up in a middle-class family, and he was known to have a relatively normal childhood. He was a graduate of John H. Francis Polytechnic, I think that's how you say that, high school in Sun Valley, LA, and went on to attend California State University, Northridge, where he earned a degree in mechanical engineering.
Oh, engineering.
Yeah, something I know absolutely nothing about.
Same.
So let's just point out that Pardo had no history of violence. So do you have anything you want to add before we get the ball rolling?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw a couple more things about his background. He worked at ITT Corporation Electronic Systems Radar, and he worked at NASA for their jet propulsion labs, which are really nice jobs.
Well, yeah, I bet they are. And again, that's a well above my knowledge. But I do know that engineers make really good money, and that's why they make the big bucks. But let's move on. Pardo met his future wife, 40-year-old Sylvia Orza, while they were both working at an aerospace company. Orza had three children from previous marriages. And Pardo's friends thought that, you know, this relationship would be good for him since his past relationships did not end well. They figured someone who was down to earth with a large family may be just what he needed.
Figured give him some grounding.
Yeah. I guess, like I said, his other relationships did not end all that great. So maybe this was the one they were figuring. The couple married in January 29th, 2006, and Pardo bought a $565,000 three-bedroom house in Montrose and in Akita, and they were living there with Sylvia's four-year-old daughter. Now, I don't know if y'all know anything about those dogs, but if they're purebred, they can cost anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000. And that's just the price of the dog. That doesn't even include the grooming, the food, the vet visits, and everything else that comes along with maintaining a dog like that.
And that's got to be a really nice house. Well, it's California. Everything's more expensive there.
Yeah, I'm about to say, in a three-bedroom house to them that costs $500,000 is not going to be the same to us in Ohio.
Yeah, true.
To them, a $500,000 house here is probably like a shack. To them in California. Who knows? But unfortunately, the marriage was not meant to last. At first, Bruce was affectionate to his wife and warm and welcoming to her family. But after the first year, Sylvia had told her friends that They had been arguing over money a lot, and Bruce had become cold and distant, and they ended up separating.
So what I read was that one point of contention was Sylvia wanted a joint bank account opened with her and Bruce, and Bruce refused to do that and kind of, you know, do the whole family thing of, hey, yeah, they're your kids are my kids now. We're gonna spend the money on all on the kids together. And it was just more like, you spend your money on your kids, I spend money on my money on me.
Right. And, you know, to me, that just kind of defeats the purpose of being married. Because when you marry, it's not like he didn't know that she didn't have kids.
It, right. So, like,
it ain't like she just popped up with the kids on the side one day. Like, hey, there's three other kids here. So I didn't quite understand that. Because when you marry someone, you know, your family becomes their family, and or vice versa. That's just the way it is. So here is some bullshit, y'all. Sylvia asked Pardo if she could stay in the home until after her daughter finishes kindergarten. Shortly after she had asked him about this, she left to leave to go to her niece's birthday party. While she was gone, Pardo moved all of her shit onto the driveway. She filed for divorce and moved in with her sister in Glendale.
Wait. She asked just to, hey, can we stay here long enough to get her out of school, and then and just moved all of her shit outside.
Yep.
Like, who does that?
While she was gone.
That,
that's that scary shit. If you're going to do that to me, be a fucking man and at least try to do that shit while I'm there. And right? why are you asking? That's where I'm getting a little confused. Well, I understand that y'all are separated or whatever, or separating, but at the time, that's still your house too.
Yeah.
So why are you asking if you can stay there?
No.
That didn't make any sense. You know, then on top of that, you have a 4-year-old daughter. So what kind of person would just throw all your stuff out, and you know that this woman has a 4-year-old daughter and has nowhere to go? So a short time later, Pardo hired an attorney, and he was hoping for reconciliation, but Sylvia's attorney said that her mind was made up.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, let's keep it real. Can you blame her?
No.
I don't blame her either. I'd have been like, no. No. There's just nothing else to be said. No. Now, Pardo's brother said that he was depressed about the breakup, but others around him said that he seemed like he was handling it well. But, you know, when you're around certain people, you try to put on a certain front.
Yep.
So, you know, the people at work, or, you know, just in his general surroundings, were probably like, oh, yeah, he's doing great. He's doing great. Inside, he's like a fucking powder keg.
Yep.
So Pardo had left his current job and started working as an engineer for a defense contracting company, and he was earning $122,000 a year, while Sylvia was only earning $31,000 a year as an administrative assistant at a flower company. And in December, the divorce became final, and the judge ordered Pardo to pay his ex-wife $1,700 a month in spousal support. Now,
that's not bad.
That's not bad, really. So, dude, so if we divorce,
I'm
you don't
just
mind
saying,
paying me $1,700?
The dude's making six figures. You can give two up for your ex.
Well, apparently he didn't see it that way. And we gonna get to that. But Pardo did complain to the court that Sylvia was living with her parents, not paying rent, had a luxury car, was taking gambling trips to Las Vegas, having meals at expensive restaurants, massages, golf lessons, you name it.
Okay, you know what? Never mind.
So, but the court kept the ruling. They did not change it. So once everything was settled, final, everything, Pardo got to keep the house and the cars. Sylvia got to keep the diamond wedding ring, most of the furniture, and the dog.
What? Never mind.
What?
Why do they always get the dog?
Because we are going to take care of the dog.
I can take care of the dog, too.
I don't know about all that. Maybe because we will take better care of the dog. Now, Pardo was supposed to deliver a $10,000 cashier's check to her attorney, but he never showed up. He said that he was still trying to come up with the money. So apparently, after the divorce, he lost his job due to filing false hours.
Yeah, so what I read was that he would go in and try to claim hours that he didn't work, and the thought behind it or the speculation was that he was trying to get the extra money to make the payments and all that stuff like that.
Right, but why do that? Because again, if you get caught, then you're gonna get fired and then you have no money at all.
I don't know. Hey, he's a smart person. I'm a dumb one, so
I mean, because, well, okay, so let's take into consideration. He's got this big house, he's got cars or a car, whatever. I don't know how much his mortgage was. So you got to take into consideration. You got mortgage, you got bills, you got car payment, you got insurance. And then you have to turn around and dish out an extra $1,700 a month on top of that. Then this $10,000 cashier's check to her attorney.
Yeah, I mean,
So I'm really not sure. I mean, I kind of understood the false filing, but me personally, I'd be too scared to take that chance. So he started to create his plan in September. And in September, Pardo ordered an extra large Santa suit from a costume maker. And the suit was $300 and it came complete with boots, glasses, belt, and a hat.
No beard?
No beard.
How do you have a Santa outfit with no beard?
I don't know. And now if it did come with a beard, I didn't read that part.
Okay.
I might have accidentally left that part out, but I didn't see anything about a beard.
I mean, I don't know about y'all, but Santa with no beard's a little suspicious to me.
It's just weird looking anyway, Santa with no beard. But Pardo had told the costume maker that it was for a holiday party on November 8th and that he needed it to be extra large so he could be extra jolly. So if that ain't some creepy shit,
I was just about to say, that is the corniest thing that I just, you know what? Never mind. I'm just going.
That was just really weird. First of all, you know that you're planning on going to kill people. So let's make this suit really big so that I can hide whatever it is I'm trying to hide while dressed up as Santa. Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I think at this point, he started to kind of crumble a little bit. So on Christmas Eve, Pardo stopped at a cafe and he chatted with the owner like he always did. He got his usual raspberry cheese Danish and coffee, but this particular day he also ordered a turkey sandwich and he ate it in a corner booth. The cafe owner said that he remembered the last conversation that he had with Pardo. He said Pardo shook his hand and said goodbye and Merry Christmas to you and your family. The cafe owner said, you too. And Pardo just kind of gave a little smile. The cafe owner said he thought it was a little strange that he used the word goodbye instead of, see you later, see you after Christmas, something like that. Just goodbye.
Yeah, and see, like, with the way my brain works, I would have. What do you mean goodbye? If you never say goodbye to me, that's little things like this is what you should pick up on when you're talking to people and stuff like that. Especially, it may be somebody that you see every day at work, but that one day they come in there and they're like, hey, they're like and super excited or something like that, or sitting in the corner all by themselves, and they're usually the super excited one. Just self-note that you ain't gotta run around freak everybody out. Just take a mental note of that yourself.
Yeah, that's true. I agree because, a lot of people who are suicidal will do that. They'll be super happy and super upbeat, when they're usually down and, depressed and stuff like that. But when they get ready to do whatever it is they plan on doing, they seem to be happy, like a weight is lifted. But and to me, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was really happy because at this point he had already decided what he was going to do. So at 10 p.m., the neighbors reported seeing Pardo pulling out of a car, they pulling out in a car that they had never seen before. And one of his neighbors said, "Hey, where are you going?" Pardo said, "Oh, I'm going to a Christmas party." And he left. So about an hour and a half later, around 11:30, Pardo approached his former in-law's house, knocked on the door, and what the family didn't know was that he had guns and a fuel spraying device disguised as a present.
Oh, just say what it was. It was a flamethrower. It was a homemade flamethrower.
Well, I don't know about a homemade flamethrower, but again, we gonna get to that. So now remember, Pardo is dressed in a Santa suit. So it's Christmas Eve. Of course, a little girl sees Santa coming up to the house. She's gonna be all excited, like, "Oh my God, you all had Santa come to the house!" All happy. And this is where it becomes the family's worst nightmare. So the little girl opened the door, and Pardo shot her in the face. He entered the house and was just firing randomly at first, and then he started to target his ex-wife. Now, according to some family members and 911 calls, he had knelt down to shoot a group of family members who dove under the table where they were playing cards. So that's some scary shit.
Yeah, that, and like, y'all, I try to give you all as much advice as I can. Card tables are not bulletproof.
I don't think it has anything to do with bulletproof. You're trying to go somewhere where you are shielded.
Right, but like card tables, most tables, unless they're like super old, thick wood tables, like conference tables, it's not gonna stop bullets. Just keep moving. Keep moving and you'll stay alive.
Well, it's not going to stop bullets, but at the same time, it's harder to hit a target that you can't see.
True.
So if you got yourself covered, he could just be just shooting at anything. They don't, but in this case, it just did not end well for them. So after opening fire with the handguns, Pardo unwrapped his homemade flamethrower and sprayed fuel all over the interior of the house. The police believe that the fire was supposed to be started with a flare, but the fuel came in contact with an open flame and it caused the house to explode. Now, I've seen video of the house on fire after the shooting, and it was absolutely horrifying.
Oh, it was crazy. Like,
I ain't never seen a fire like that. That was, oh my God. And if y'all don't know anything about me at all, my two biggest fears: to die by drowning and to die in a fire. Those are my two biggest fears. And just to die, now I don't know if some of the family members died by the fire, but that to me, that is probably one of the worst ways in the world to die. So between the gunfire and the flames, a total of nine people were dead. Pardo's ex-wife, Sylvia, her parents, her two brothers, their wives, her sister, and her sister's 17-year-old son, her nephew. Three people were injured. During the shooting, Sylvia's sister was able to get the little girl that had been shot in the face, and she ran to a neighbor's house where they were hiding. The little girl was only wounded on the side of her face, thank God, and she was able to call 911 from the neighbor's house, and she told the neighbors and 911 that she thinks that it was her former brother-in-law, Bruce Pardo. Now, the explosion and the fire left Pardo with third-degree burns on his arms and legs, and some parts of the suit were even melted onto his body. After he set the house on fire, he changed out of his Santa suit. So look, if y'all have ever gotten burned by anything, y'all know that shit hurts. So to be able to take off that suit with third-degree burns on his arms and legs, he must have been on some type of adrenaline rush. So, Tony, I know you've been burned.
So especially with depending on, well, not even depending on the material, but having material burn to your skin and then you go to try and remove it is gonna put you in excruciating pain. Burns by themselves, especially once you start getting into like second and third degree burns, if anything touches that burn, you can walk just a little too fast, and the air graze over it, and it feels like it's back on fire again.
Anything. That is some painful shit. I'm sorry. I've never had a third degree burn, but I've had a second degree burn, and it's not fun. No. Not at all. And I couldn't even imagine the pain he must have been in once, you know, he kind of settled down. But Pardo drove to his brother's house 40 miles away and left the singed remains in the rental car. Now, Pardo had also booby-trapped the car with tripwire so that if the suit was moved, it would trigger a fire and set off 200 rounds of ammunition. So I know that you definitely have something to say about that.
Well, so just a little bit more information. It was a blue Dodge Caliber, and yet, like you said, it was a basic system so that if you moved the suit, it would ignite a flame to set off the ammunition. I guess he was hoping that the fire and the ammunition would explode and destroy the evidence. They ended up calling the bomb squad. Bomb squad determined that it would be safer for everyone involved if they just hit it with a small explosive to ignite everything and then pick through the remains after that.
So the bomb squad blew the car up.
They didn't blow it up.
Well, you know what I mean.
So they have different tools that they can use. They have like this little water gun that they could have hit the suit with it to make it move to ignite the fire. But it's safer to do that than have somebody get in the car and then try to cut a wire, and you don't know if it's a tension based thing or if it's if pulling on it or releasing tension will ignite it. So just get everybody to a safe distance, hit it with that, and then let it burn.
I'm surprised they didn't use, like, the little bomb thing.
The little robot? That's probably what they used. They probably put the little water gun on it, moved it into position, and then hit it with that.
See, and that's so he just thought of everything.
He tried to.
Well, he tried to. So I don't know if he was trying to actually hurt anybody or if he was just trying to get them off his trail or slow people down. I'm not really sure. But at this point, Pardo had broken into his brother's house, and there is where he shot himself in the head. Thankfully, his brother was not there at the time, and when they found Pardo, he had $17,000 in cash strapped to his leg with saran wrap and in a girdle he was wearing. He also had a plane ticket to Canada. The police assumed he was planning on fleeing the country.
But why would you shoot yourself in the head if you're going to Canada?
Maybe he felt like he could just do what he did and then leave. Maybe after he did it, he felt bad some kind of way.
Or he thought that with the injuries he sustained, he would probably get identified way faster.
Yeah, or maybe with the injuries he sustained, maybe he felt like he'd just rather, you know, end it all instead of living like that. Because I know that he had the third-degree burns on his arms and legs, but they didn't really go into detail about the severity.
Yeah, true.
So, who knows? After Pardo was dead, the police searched his house in Montrose and discovered 5 empty semi-automatic handgun boxes, 2 shotguns, and a container for high-octane fuel, like a high-octane fuel gasoline tank or
race
something
fuel.
Like that?
Race fuel.
Race fuel?
Yeah.
They also found what they describe as a virtual bomb-making factory in his house.
That's, you know what's really weird that kind of, like, triggers, like, little things from the Army is that. If I were there, I'd have, oh my God.
So, that has to be a absolute horrible feeling to lose 9 members of your family on Christmas Eve.
Especially the way that
right,
way.
Especially that way.
That just
that I mean, and like I said, just to die in a fire, I couldn't even see it. So, tell me, what do y'all think? Do y'all think that he had mental issues before, and he was just good at hiding it, or do you think he just snapped? My opinion, I really can't say that he snapped because he started planning in September. I do think that he was fed up with having to pay all that money and at the time, and he didn't have a job. So, in my personal opinion, I don't think that this one had anything to do with mental illness. I think that this was just a slow burn and it just kept going and going over the months leading up to the shootings, and it just continued to get worse.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, I don't think it was mental health. I literally do think this dude just got fed up and pissed off and went and did it.
So, are those your final thoughts and opinions?
So, just a little PSA, y'all. Especially around the holidays when people dress up and do cool, awesome things, right? Just because it's Halloween or it's Christmas or it's Easter or whatever, if you're not expecting a fourth, fifth, seventh person, or you're just not expecting anybody at all, don't let your kids answer the door, right? As an adult, you see somebody walking up that you may or may not recognize, whether you do or not, hey, you're not supposed to be here, or why are you here dressed up as Santa, and why are
Yeah.
you wearing clothes seven sizes too big?
Right. And of course, we're not trying to tell anybody what to do with their kids. People
True.
will do with their kids what they will.
Yeah.
These are just our personal opinions.
But, just, and if it's an adult there and you have a just basic self-defense training, you might have been able to wrestle guns out of his hands and stuff like that. But just, always keep that in the back of your mind. Not every day is just gonna be perfect.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that is gonna do it for our Christmas episode. I just wanted to say, as always, thank you so much for listening. Have a safe and merry Christmas and a fabulous new year. And I am excited to see what 2024 has in store for Mass Murder Talk. So, whatever it is that you celebrate, happy holidays, merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever it is. I hope it's a great one. Happy New Year. Enjoy. Be safe. Love y'all.
Deuces.
Deuces.